book of Proverbs. Sorry, Chuck, a little fast there. The book of Proverbs, chapter 25. I'm going to do something a little different. Usually I'll preach one out of Proverbs and one out of something else. I'm going to plan to preach both of them out of Proverbs today. Proverbs chapter 25, I'd like to deal in this first service with verse 11. Proverbs 25, 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, you know there's times when we would desire to say the right thing to someone. And often, we don't know what to say. We wish the right word would be there. But the scripture today deals with the beauty of saying the right thing at the right moment with the right attitude and the right spirit, and the benefit of saying such a word. In Proverbs, I'll read this to you, Proverbs 15 and verse 23. The scripture says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Well, the scripture today says, a word fitly spoken. Now, if my margin, you may have, if you got a Bible like mine, my margin says that word fitly means, it means spoken upon his wheels. A word spoken upon his wheels. And what it means is a word that runs well. A word that is not forced, it's not labored, but it's spoken with wisdom and grace and compassion, kindness, and it runs smoothly, like the wheels of a chariot. That's what it's talking about. Well, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures, frame settings of silver. These words are they're fragrantly wholesome words. They're spiritually palatable. They're precious. They're beautiful words. And we truly, as I said just a few minutes ago, I desire to speak such words. Speak kindly, you know, but especially to those that are in trouble, distressed, and they just need a word of comfort. You know, we want to be kind at all times. You know, if somebody, now this is just, I'll just share with you my old carnal nature, old evil nature. You know, I'm in a store and somebody's coming up and I hold the door for them and they just walk right past me. Now, what do you think I thought? You know, you're welcome. That's what I thought, you know. But I mean, just all you got to do is say thank you. You know, appreciate, thank you. Just a word that runs well. Just a nice, you know, it's a word that's spoken like that. It runs smoothly. Well, Solomon was moved to set forth this truth. And I got to thinking about words that are fitly spoken, that the scripture declares as apples of gold. Beautiful, beautiful. A beautiful golden apple in a silver frame. That's what it's talking about. Just, you know. And the most fundamental, spiritually speaking. Now, I want to be cordial. Like I said, open a door, say thank you. You know. But the most fundamental of these times of spiritually speaking, when is when you'd find conversation and fellowship between brethren, a word fitly spoken, where the glory of God is the topic of speech. Now, the scripture declares, Malachi 3:16, I love this passage, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." Now, what speech runs well? What speech runs well as that which declares the Lord himself to be the hope of his people? God's people never tire of honoring him with their lips. They talk of the Lord. They speak of his majesty, his glory. Psalm 145, 10 and 11, it says, "All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power." You know, they're just ever found to be like those two on the road to Emmaus. They were discussing the things of the Lord, and the Lord himself appeared to them, and he began to talk with them, and then took the scriptures, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them, the scripture says, those things concerning himself. And I just think about when you're looking in the scriptures and you can see, you see the glory of Christ in a picture, a type, or you, the Lord opens something up to you, and you think, like those two, your heart just burns, you know. And then we think about a word fitly spoken, not only just between two individual believers, but what about what we're doing right now? We've assembled ourselves together, and the word fitly spoken is set forth is when the gospel is preached. And that assembling, that public assembling where the Lord said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I'm here." So what word could be more beautifully set forth, fitly spoken, run like a wheel, just as the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, where the Lord himself is set forth, his glory, his honor. Paul said concerning the gospel, and I've said so many times, you ask somebody, "Do you believe the gospel?" And they'll say, "Yes, I do." And ask them, say, "Well, tell me what it is. Tell me what the gospel is." Here's what it is. It is the declaration. It's the declaration of that which God Almighty has done and is bringing forth in time, what he's purposed and done in the person of his blessed Son for a people of his choosing. And he's bringing it forth. And this gospel is preached. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gospel that Paul said, Romans 1, 15-16, he says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek." Now, can there be found a word that's sent from heaven between men? And I specifically said that. I wanted to make sure I put in there between men. Is there a word more fitly spoken? Two believers talking together, that's a word fitly spoken. God is causing a group of people to come together and assemble themselves together and send a pastor and give a pastor a heart to want to get into the Word of God and study And amidst all the distractions that Satan would try to throw, not only before the pastor, but the people, and try to disrupt it, whatever he do, just disrupt the spirit. But Almighty God overruling for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the good of God's elect, they'll come together and they hear the same message that they heard last week. And by the grace of God, next week, they'll hear the same message. And God's people are listening for it. What they want to hear. I want to hear the person of Christ. I want to hear about his glory and his honor. Tell me again what God's done. Tell me that one more time. Got to hear it one more time. Almighty God blessing that, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself being here. God showed up. God forbid that I don't. The Lord is here. And then that message, that free grace, listen how it runs well. As I just read this out of 2 Thessalonians 2, but I listen to the preciousness of this. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. We're bound. What does that mean? Paul said we're required. We're obligated. We're indebted. We're bound. That's what the word bound means. We're indebted to give thanks always to God for you. We're indebted. I owe you a debt. I owe the debt before God that I owe, thanking him. For what? This is what I'm bound to give thanks for. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. I am bound. I'm obligated, required to be praying for you, beloved of the Lord. Because God chose you. Father, thank you. Thank you for choosing Pat. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, that you chose your people in Christ before the foundation of the world. Thank you for electing grace. Thank you, Lord, for choosing and putting them in the Lord Jesus Christ. God chose you from the beginning to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. How's that? Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, that you send your Spirit and cross paths with your people under the sound of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, for your work of grace and belief for the truth. I'm thankful, Lord, for giving them a heart. Thank you for giving them faith to believe and trusting and relying upon you, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, that you might obtain or have a share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be assured, Almighty God, if he's pleased to call out a vessel of his mercy, if he's going to call out anybody, I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to do it through the preaching of the sovereign grace of God. He's not going to do it through free will lies. He's not going to bless that. He will not. He does not. I've had people say, I was saved, you know, when I was still in free will religion. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. I've got God's word on that. I've got God's word on it. The gospel is concerning the glory, the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's sovereignty, God's truth of choosing a people, putting them in Christ, Christ laying down his life mark in particular for those people. That's what he said. God does not, according to his word, save people under a lie. He doesn't do it. He saves them under the truth. Scripture says, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where in the word of God do you ever find that man has a free will? You don't. Where do you find that God loves everybody and wants to save everybody if they'll let him? You don't. That's not the word of the Lord. That's not God's word. So just remember how needy, how important it is, this gospel, this word that's fitly spoken. Without this, Romans 10, I'll turn to you and I'll read this to you. Romans 10, 13 to 15. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Now let me just stop right here. Now what do I mean when I say the name of the Lord? See, here's the problem. These things that are set forth in Scripture need to be explained. We need a preacher to set forth. What do you mean? Somebody said, well, I called on the name of the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to accept you as my personal Savior. Here's what the Scripture means when it says concerning the name of the Lord, the character of the Lord. Number one, here's what it is. When you call on the name of the Lord, who is he? Who is he? This is the chosen Messiah, the elect servant of God, according to God's everlasting covenant of grace, the Father who chose the Son as the surety of the sheep, who redeemed and established the righteousness for his people, and the Spirit of God, who in covenant agreement will call out everyone that the Father has given the Son. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will know why. So when we say you call on the name of the Lord, number one, who is he? What did he do? I just said it. He came into this world and walked before God Almighty, establishing as a man the righteousness of God. As a man, the righteousness of God that is charged to or imputed to God's elect. And being made sin, he absolutely hung upon Calvary's tree as in the stead of, as being what his people are, sin. And he put it away. Why did he do it? Because God Almighty has mercy and compassion on whomsoever he will. And where is he now? He's seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for his people. All that are going to be saved. All for whom the kingdom was prepared. Come, you blessed of my Father. Enter the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. So when we say, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, that's what I'm saying. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So whenever we talk about a word fitly spoken, it's the gospel. God's people, that's word, when they talk one-on-one and the Lord hears them, hearkens, and book of remembrance, that's a word fitly spoken, that's good. The gospel of God's free grace, that's a word fitly spoken. Oh, the need, it runs well. When the gospel is preached, it runs well. And lastly, consider the source of these words spoken. Where do those words, where have they come from? Where did that word fitly spoken, you know, I'll tell you where they came. It came from heaven. This is a word fitly spoken. Now listen to this in closing. In the beginning was the Word. Now, we're going to talk about a word fitly spoken. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, I was ever before him. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, here is a word fitly spoken. Brethren, they talk together. That's a word fitly spoken. The gospel is preached. That's a word fitly spoken. Oh, but the source of all of that is when God himself, that's why I said a while ago, this word's fitly spoken between men, but how about a word from God to this needy place in which God's sheep are found? Here is the word fitly spoken from heaven by the Father in the incarnation of his Son to his people. This book is written concerning, this is a letter, this is a book that is written to the people of God. God the Father, who chose us in Christ, was pleased to speak to his people in the purity and the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself. What does that mean? It means by himself, without my help, without my input, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God has mercifully spoken. God has spoken in compassion whenever Zacharias, that's John the Baptist's daddy. Zachariah, you remember the Lord had revealed to Elizabeth, his wife, that she was going to have a son, and he was going to be the forerunner. He was going to be the one that announced the Messiah when he came. And Zacharias was struck dumb. He couldn't speak. And they, whenever time that John was to be born, his mother, Elizabeth, said his name's going to be John. They said, well, ain't nobody in your family named John. Surely you're going to call him after his daddy. And whenever it came time, the Spirit of God gave Zacharias, John's father, a word, speech. And this is what he said in Luke chapter 1. I'll read this to you, verse 68 to 75. Blessed be the Lord. This is Zacharias speaking. Blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform, this is what he said God did, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So, would we see the mercy of God? If we see the mercy of God, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be merciful, compassionate. What God shows mercy by revealing Christ to his people. That is the mercy of God. He, the Word himself, was made flesh. He came, his Word, he spoke with as God, who is God, the man, Christ Jesus. Whenever the sea and the wind was blowing, he spoke to it. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him. Centurion came to him one day. Servant was sick, gravely sick. Lord told him, he said, I'll go to your house and heal him. He said, no, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, man. You just speak the word. I read that passage of scripture and I thought, now here's God. He didn't ask him where he lived. He didn't ask him nothing. He knew where he was. He knew that servant. He knew that servant that he was going to heal. He spoke nothing. Nothing hindered him. His word, nothing hindered. And he cast out devils. And that word of power and affection, even those that didn't know him, there were times that you'll find when they themselves even acknowledged the deity of that word spoken from his lips. John 8, 44, 46. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? Remember what they said? He said, never man spake like this. This is God. He is the word that spoke this world into existence when there was nothing but God. The scripture says, and the Lord said. He spoke and nobody heard it but God. And it was. His words, last scripture right here, are going to be heard by all men. Now listen, if we hear the word of the Lord now in saving grace, in mercy and compassion, oh, how thankful that God Almighty would reveal himself through the preaching of the gospel to a heart, a new heart of a believer. But every person that's ever walked this earth is going to hear his voice. John 5, 25, 29, and I'll stop. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. But everybody's going to hear. Everybody's going to hear. Oh, the words that are fitly spoken between brethren, oh, they run well. They run. The preaching of the gospel, oh, it runs well. God Almighty is going to bless that because it honors his Son. Oh, but that blessed word from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he who has promised, I'll be with you. You meet together in my name, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but not his word. I pray that the Lord bless this to his glory and to our good. Amen. Amen. All right.